the it's actually when you start applying the no judgment and no blame to everything in your life, not just horses, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's very important, but at the same time, even there is no judge and no blame, it's, for me, it's still to develop this this ability, so to say, to sense quite a lot. It also didn't mean that I'm just and only in the moment. I also wanted to understand. So it's, there's no judgment, but still kind of seeking understanding. So it's not a standstill.
Yeah.
It's not desperately, it's not desperately trying to get somewhere, because I hope a lot of people already know that the more desperately you try to get somewhere, the more you get away from it. So it's, you have to learn to rest. Yeah, it is resting, but at the same time, still seeking and wanting to get further.
It's almost to me like we set the intention that we want that understanding, and then we have to, as you say, rest and allow that understanding to unfold. Because whenever we try too hard, the trying too hard itself gets in the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. But still trying. Please continue.
Sorry, go ahead. Somebody actually had a question about exactly that thing. Let me just flip to it. Yeah, Cheryl in New Zealand said, my question is how to stay in the now when writing, when you still have fear. In her case, she wants to actually start riding her one of her horses again, but she's still too scared to even try and fake it and get on. But the reason I've pulled that question into now, a little ahead of time, is because she was asking exactly what I was just about to ask you, which is, how do you stay in the now when you're riding? And how do you do that and still listen to your fear at the same time?
It's very difficult. It's very important not to just go to a little bit challenging situations and try to be present now. If we haven't developed that strong being able to be now, also in other situations, so we have to make sure that we have enough. Really feel. Sometimes people are in mind awareness. They are maybe aware of surrounding, or they are aware of their peaceful mind, but are they in their body? Are they aware how they are breathing? Are they aware how their shoulders are? Are they aware how their belly is? How their heartbeat is? So can they stay in their body while they are listening to the birds and being aware of the wind and somehow the sense of that moment? And are they at the same time also being aware of what's going on in the horse, how the horse is breathing, or what is the heartbeat of the horse, or at least how the horse is somehow acting? Because for me, the being in now doesn't mean that I just try to be calm, whatever my heartbeat is saying and what the horse, whatever the horse's heartbeat is saying. It also means that I'm aware of it and that I can really guide my breathing down, and I can really feel my heartbeat, and I can really consciously tell my legs to be long and my hips to my seat bones to deepen. And if I feel that the horse is also nervous, then maybe I just spend time guiding my breathing to him and breathing calmly together, etc. So it's not just a wish. It's not just a mind level. It's really also a physical level of presence. And when we feel, hey, I'm really in my body, I feel what's going on in my body, and I feel that the horse is also okay and the situation is calm, then we already have calm presence.
So what you're describing, what I call physical feel, you know, which is a, that ability to actually feel inside your body and know what all the bits of it are doing and just be aware of that, you know, easily.
Yes.
The other thing that you just touched on that I express a little differently, but we're both saying exactly the same thing, is what you're saying is that we need to be the change that we want our horse to be.
Absolutely. We are the example. That's one of my essential things in everything I do. We are the example.
So if you took it to this example of this, you know, this horse who's experiencing fear, if the human's feeling any kind of fear, then we have to work that out first before you would even think about getting on a horse's back. That would be
Yeah, I really believe in that at least we have to become aware of that fear, and we have to not only become aware of that fear, but we have to become more familiar with that fear. And we have to start to rest in while we are, we have to be able to look at our fear eye to eye and not just completely overcome it, but rest while we are looking at it, which means that we are not anymore completely identifying with the fear. We understand that there is some fear in us, but we are not completely, there's something else also. We're not just completely filled with that fear, but we can say, okay, I feel the fear, but I also feel my calmness, and I also feel my breathing, and I also feel that my heartbeat is okay, even I have this fear still a little bit. So then we can say, okay, now we can move on. And we can always move on as long as we can say, I feel there's some fear, but there's also something else. And I can just look at the fear eye to eye and not be driven by the fear. So we can first get known, get more familiar with the fear on the ground, then maybe sitting on the horse while there's somebody we trust and a horse who is okay. Because if the horse is also fearful, then we should be calm for both of us. So that's a too difficult task. So we have to start with the horse who is okay, even though we are a little bit not so calm. And then little by little, gradually take ourselves to situations where we can say, okay, now I'm again in a little bit more difficult situation, but I again feel I don't just have to hope it's okay. I can look at this fear eye to eye, but say, I see you, but you are not me, and I can handle this.
Yeah.
I can be in my, I can stay in my body.
I'm smiling on this end of the world because you're describing what I call the comfort zone model. You know, the when one, either horse or person is comfortable, and then there's a little place outside of that that has the not too sure zone, you know, where that, that's where you're talking about being able to be calm but be aware of the fear. And you don't want to go into that place where it overwhelms you, which is what I call the Oshiron dead zone.
Yes, yeah, where it's already like, whoa, spilling, boiling.
And because in that place we're overwhelmed and we can't, there's no productive behaviour happens in the ship zone.
No.
Yeah.
But it's actually
this is a completely impromptu conversation. Nora and I haven't actually discussed this like this before, so it's gorgeous.
No.
To feel that.
Not at all.
Isn't it interesting? The truth is the truth is the truth. We're using different words to describe the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also want to add that in my teachings, I often talk that there is something else between comfort zone and the zone where the danger already takes over, and like we talked, it spills and it's already out of our control. And that's what I call area of unknown or uncomfort. It's kind of
I call that the not too sure zone.
Yeah, and it's the growth zone. Actually, it's the area where we really grow and we explore. And it's a little bit uncomfortable. It's a little bit uncertain, but it's not just over the border and then closing our eyes and hoping for the best. It's still being able to feel our body and somehow be there with this uncomfort, but also with the comfort. And that's where we really go. That's the learning, relearning place. And also for horses. So it's the same for horses. They also don't just learn in the complete comfort, but they definitely don't learn in the fleeing when they in the fear zone, because it's a prey animal. So they only want to get back to safety. But accepting a little bit uncomfortable, but learning to find the peace in there and not immediately slipping into panic, that's a really the growing zone for horses too.
So just to pull you back and make sure we've got all the threads of this answer pulled together, when you want to be in the now, to be completely present, when you're with the horse or at any other time, you talked about the physical feeling, you know, the physical feeling of your body and your heartbeat and your breath and all that kind of stuff. What else is involved in being present in the moments like that?
Yes. Yeah. For me, the physical awareness is very important. Those people who already know me from clinics, they know that the way I walk, the way I breathe, the way I move, it's very aware and very important part of my being present. Because I believe that creates a lot of awareness.
Sorry, the time delay sometimes. The time delay, just a couple of seconds, the time delay has me thinking you finished and then you think I finished.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I'll
try and connect a bit deeper and avoid that.
Yeah.
So I often talk about the five different ways of feeling for your horse. And one of them is the physical feel, which is exactly what you're describing, that incredible presence in your body. And the heart feel is another one, which is that desire to see everything else flourish, as well as to be able to see what's going on, to be able to see beyond what's visible to the eyes and see what's and feel what's really going on with someone or with a horse. And then there's an energetic feel, that inner awareness that you're using for your physical body. Some people can actually feel the movement of energy in their body. They can feel like prickles of energy and flows of energy and stuff like that as well. That's another path that can be quite important in people feeling present. Have you come across that one?
Yeah.